words in papers, words in books, words on TV, words for books, words of comfort, words of peace, words to make the fighting cease, words to tell you what to do, words are working hard for you, eat your words but don't go hungry, words have always nearly hung me.
If you had to summarize 2013 in one word, what would that word be? Here's some of the words from previous years. 2012, hashtag. 2011, Occupy. 2010, app. 2009, tweet was the word of the year. Well, this difficult task falls to language guru Ben Zimmer. He's going to be attending a meeting of the American Dialect Society to oversee the nomination for the 2013 Word of the Year. Ben, thanks so much for joining us again.
Hi, thanks. Always a pleasure.
So is a room full of linguists and lexicographers just as wild a time as I can imagine it is when you guys get together? And gals?
It's pretty crazy, I can tell you that. Actually, we have a lot of fun with it. You know, we take what we do seriously, but at the same time, not too seriously. So when everybody gets together and we're throwing around words that have come up over the past year and arguing for or against certain words, we have fun with it. It's a lighthearted celebration of language and all that it's given us over the past year.
Ben, some folks are already saying this is the year of the selfie, those pictures you take of yourself with a cell phone camera. Are you down with that?
You know, selfie has been selected as Word of the Year by Oxford Dictionaries, another outfit that selects the Word of the Year. It got a fair amount of attention when it made that selection. I think that's a decent choice, actually. I actually had selfie on my list of nominees for 2012, but 2013 was certainly a very big year for the selfie. A lot of people were introduced to that term for the first time, and we certainly saw the selfie kind of take over social media. It's actually been traced all the way back to 2002, actually, in Australian usage. Australians like to clip words and add that IE ending. They do that, you know, Australian becomes Aussie, for instance, and so self-portrait, that's kind of a too serious term for what can just be called a selfie. And so it became popular there, but it certainly took off in a big way this year.
Okay, let's blame the Australians for that one. Ben, what are some of the contenders for Word of the Year that you're looking at?
Well, selfie is a possibility. Another one that got a fair amount of attention this year is, of course, twerk, that rump-shaking dance style that we all learned about, whether we liked to learn about it or not.
That Miley Cyrus will forever be associated with.
Yes, exactly. She will be linked to that word. You know, that big moment when everybody was talking about it happened in August, and there was a lot of commentary about that, mostly negative. Since then, the whole twerking phenomenon has died down a bit, so I'm not sure how it will fare. Sometimes these words have a big flurry of publicity, and then they die off. And so it's hard to say with a word like that, really, if it's going to have much staying power beyond
now,
this year.
Ben, you were telling us portmanteau words were big this year. First of all, what is a portmanteau word?
Well, a portmanteau word is when you take two words and you smash them together using elements of each word. And we've got plenty of these in English. If you think about brunch coming from breakfast and lunch, or smog coming from smoke and fog, that's a very popular way of forming new words. We're constantly mashing up words that we already have and making new ones. And so some examples this year, for instance, here in New York, people went a bit crazy for the cronut, and cronut is a blend or portmanteau of croissant and donut.
Have you tried one, Ben?
You know, the lines are so long. I actually work right near where they sell the cronuts, but the lines are ridiculously long, so I have not actually tried that. There are all sorts of imitators, too. The bakery that created it actually trademarked cronut. So if you want to make your own croissant donut hybrid, you have to call it something else, like the dosant, where you take the dough from donut and the sant from croissant.
There's a lot of these. There's all around Thanksgiving, because it was so close to Hanukkah, people were talking about Thanksgivica.
Thanksgivica. That was a great one. Yeah, I mean, it was this once-in-a-lifetime confluence of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah. They came together on the calendar, and it'll be hundreds of years until that happens again. And so Thanksgivica or Hanukkah-giving, there are all sorts of variants of that. Thanksgivica, I think, was the most popular form of that. And there were, you know, even people selling a menorky, which was a turkey-shaped menorah, really having fun with the whole idea of mashing up those two holidays.
There was a Sci-Fi Channel film out, I think it was a Sci-Fi Channel film called Sharknado, and here's the premise. A tornado whips up and dumps a bunch of sharks into Los Angeles. Panic ensues, and this is an example of a portmanteau, right?
That's right. It takes the nado of tornado and grafts it onto the word shark. And what's beautiful about that is as soon as you hear the title of that movie, Sharknado, you know exactly what it's going to be about. It's a tornado full of sharks. And so people really latched onto that and the whole idea of using the nado of tornado to form new things. So you could really put anything you want and add nado to it to talk about a tornado of things. People have done that in past years with Mageddon from Armageddon or Apocalypse from Apocalypse. And now NATO has joined those calamitous suffixes.
Ben, now I feel like a complete idiot. I kept seeing Sharknado, and I could not figure out what that meant. I finally had to look it up. It was obvious to you, though. Of course, Sharknado, a shark tornado, because you're a word guy.
Right. Well, I think if you saw maybe the poster for it,
that's when it
came
through. Yeah.
It would hit home right away, and there was a lot of campy excitement online on Twitter, especially, and that's where we saw a lot of people having fun with coming up with their own names for possible disaster movies by creating new blends in very funny ways.
So, portmanteau words is portmanteau. These are all examples of that. Is portmanteau itself a portmanteau word?
No, actually, that's a term that Lewis Carroll came up with to describe how you could put two words together in a portmanteau, which is like a piece of luggage that you could sort of pack two words together. And Lewis Carroll himself really enjoyed coming up with these words. You can think of words that he created, like chortle, which is a combination of chuckle and snort. So Lewis Carroll enjoyed doing that way back in the 19th century, and now people are constantly creating their own portmanteaus.
We're talking to language guru Ben Zimmer about words of the year. He's on a meeting at the meeting of the American Dialect Society where they're going to oversee the nomination process for the 2013 Word of the Year. And I understand you've got some other categories besides Word of the Year, including most useful, most likely to succeed, and most outrageous. What are some of the nominees for most useful word of 2013?
Well, we're going to have to fill out those categories when we get together. We'll have a nominating session where we come up with nominees for all of these different categories. So we don't know yet what might be considered most useful or most likely to succeed.
Well, what are some of the most useful words that you have found over the past year? Ben, you work with words all the time. Are there some that really are on your tool shelf now because you found them to be really useful?
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. There was one word that was in the running last year for most creative, and that was mansplaining. And this is another thing where you're smashing two words together. In this
it's
case,
explaining by a man? Is that what that would be?
Yes, exactly. So usually in a condescending way to women about things that a man doesn't necessarily know more than a woman about, but the man takes it upon himself to mansplain. That was really popular last year, and this year we saw an explosion of just that splain form, and coming from explain could be grafted onto other words. And all sorts of different things. People were having fun with it, talking about shoe-splaining, you know, explaining shoes, or grammar-splaining, explaining grammar, usually with this idea that the explanation is done in a kind of a condescending way to someone who doesn't actually need the explanation.
Ben, back up here a second. Shoe-splaining, what needs to be explained about a shoe? I don't get that one at all.
shoe-splaining.
Marcy, do you have some idea here? Marcy Silman has an idea. What would shoe-splaining be, Marcy?
You have to go through the closet and explain what the shoes are for.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was for you know people who enjoy shoes. You know, they're talking about in different styles of shoes. It just goes to show that splaining form could really attach itself to anything that people wanted to talk about, where there was some sort of explanation going on that they were talking about in a lighthearted way. They would use that. So I found that particularly useful. Another example of something useful that people latched onto this year, an old word, because, which, you know, we typically understand the way that the word because is used as a conjunction, ended up becoming used more like a preposition a lot this year. There's some history to it, but it really took off this year. So you could just say because reasons, or this word is popular because internet.
Yeah.
It's this kind of shorthand way of describing the reason for something, and people were using that quite a lot this year. And it sounds odd at first, but once you warm up to it, you might find yourself using because followed by a noun all the time.
Finally, Ben, you're such a cautious guy. I love putting you on the spot. What's your prediction for the most likely word to become Word of the Year 2013?
You know, I do not have a front runner this year. It's hard to say. Sometimes it's very easy to pick one. A couple of years ago, for instance, when the Occupy movement was big,
yeah.
Occupy seemed like, oh, that's going to be the
okay, I'm not going to get an answer from you, Ben. I know it. But thank you anyway. Thank you so much for talking to us. Ben Zimmer is our language guru on The Record. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.
It's a Recordopolis.